Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 2nd. Joining us this morning is Eureka representative for the 4th District. How's that, huh? Almost smooth. Virginia Bass.
I don't know where you're going with that.
Yeah, well, you know, that pretty much, it's kind of interesting with all the stuff with the wards going on. I don't think a lot of folks really understand or, for me, want to understand the ward system, but nothing has changed at the county. You're still Eureka, right?
At the moment, but, you know, once the census is done, then we're going to get the redistricting here, too, also.
So, yeah, it won't be going to a ward system, so at least that's okay.
Yeah, I still... Whoops.
You hurting yourself there?
Not too bad.
All right. Winston, why do we say it?
So we offered this one to Estelle last week, and she passed on it. Where did we get speakeasy as the name for an illicit saloon?
My thought would be because people had to be quiet when they went in there, and so they weren't supposed to be loud, so they asked them to speak easy. How's that?
I'm thinking because they got looped, and then it was easier to speak. How's that?
Well, Virginia actually got pretty close.
Ah.
The term is Irish in origin. You couldn't raise your voice or kick up a rumpus in an establishment where liquor was sold without calling the attention of the police to the existence of the place. In order to not have the cops come and nab you, you had to speak easy.
Ah, there you go. I guess you have more history and knowledge about bars and drinking than I do.
I don't know. All I know is that's the first one I've ever got even close to right. So I'm ending...
Bask in your...
Can I just stop now?
Yeah, bask in your glory now.
Yeah.
And since you're on a roll, perhaps you can explain then what the governor in the state is now doing with the goofy designations, the system that they put into place, huh?
Well, you know, something about a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. That's what it feels like. Right now, you know, things have been in flux since, I guess it was Thursday night, Friday morning last week, all sorts of phone call flurries at the governor's office. And, you know, what I think is intended to be something that, you know, they call this economic, you know, restart. It made no sense how it happened. If I could, you know, They had this chart or this, you know, this graph of all the colors, state colors, and what it all means. And we're lucky we ended up in orange. I know people think we should be in yellow, but there's three counties in yellow, and basically, you know, less than 1% positivity. I mean, they're like, it's Modoc and a couple others that had like nothing really gone like crazy like the rest of us have at times. So there's, I think, 8 of us that are in the orange category, which I was excited because I was afraid we were going to get stuck in one of the more restrictive categories because they took like the 14-day average to determine. They took all the cities, I mean counties, which is hard to explain, seriously. And I feel like they just kind of, it feels like they're a bunch of ping pong balls and, you know, bounce around in the bingo thing, and they just pulled out ping pong balls and put us where they thought we belonged, which makes no sense, but neither does their system. Anyway, so they have it based on all, you know, these two parameters, and they took 14 days worth of data. We had one really good week where we didn't have a lot of numbers this last week, and the week prior to that, though, we had like 40, and my concern was we were going to get dumped into a higher category, but luckily we didn't, so... We ended up orange, so what does that really mean? You know, so they have this whole list of things that, you know, are supposedly able to be opening up now. So, you know, in respect, that's good, but there's just no clarity. They're adding another determinant, which they still haven't figured out what it is. And it's not, it's something in equity, like a testing, and they're thinking about basing it on census tracts. And I have no idea. No one figured out what they mean by that. So all the counties I know are still wondering, well, what's next? What is that going to mean to us? Anyway, so on the one hand, it's good we ended up in a place where we have more latitude to open. But the other thing to pay attention to is, you know, if we have a 7-day average that somehow puts us in any, you know, out of whack with our category, and you put down to the higher, I mean, a level that's more restrictive again, you have to stay there for 21 days before you can actually move up back to the less restricted level. So, I mean, it's not like everything's good to go. There's still a lot of reasons to be careful in how we move forward so we don't find ourselves actually backwards.
The thing that I got out of it, and perhaps my reading was not totally understanding, was that the entire determination, the entire power, everything has now been taken back to Sacramento, that the locals really don't have any kind of influence, any kind of determination. It's just an extension of what is shared and or told out of the state. Is that fair? Is that a fair or accurate representation?
Sort of. I think the one thing we do have, unfortunately, is that we can be more restrictive than the state. You know, and that's not what we really want to have to do. We want to be able to open up more. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we still are being engaged and, you know, having the dollars held over our head that if we do X, you know, we could lose the CARES funding that goes with this program, or at least I think it's like a 12th or, you know, a portion of it. So, you know, whenever I talked to some other supervisors from, like, one was from Orange County today, and, you know, they're like, in a much worse place. They're purple, and they're hoping to go to red. But, you know, when you think about the millions of people around this state that don't even get the flexibility that we have, you know, on the one hand, I think the state believes we're thankful for that, and I guess we are, but it does make it feel like, you know, we keep having to wait for permission.
We'll talk about permission receiving when we come back to Take 19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Virginia, this whole concept of the state edict, I was talking with a couple of the grandkids came over to Dad's over the weekend, and we were talking about Tehama and Shasta County. Started out with a fire, but as we kind of discussed, Tehama County, I guess, basically is telling the state that they're not going to pay any attention because at 100, 105, 110 degrees, eating outside makes no sense at all. You have to be inside. You need the air conditioning. Otherwise, with the smoke combination, if you have any breathing abnormalities at all, you're going to get hammered. And they've been, you know, the restaurants have been open. I can't imagine being in a restaurant where you're told one day you can serve everybody and the next day you're told you can't, and now you'd indicated it's good for 3 weeks. If they want to put these guys out of business, why not just do it with the inspection guys and just not let anybody pass? It'd be a quicker death, I think, and less painful.
Well, you know, and I think I'd like to say some of it makes sense, but I'm not sure what part that would be right yet, other than, and you're right, pointing out where it's unhealthy air outside. You know, so I guess in that respect, having indoors is, you know, makes even more sense. We've been really fortunate here because we've had such beautiful weather outside. But I think people are excited to get back in. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like if you have, I don't think they make you, you know, I don't think they, like, demote you to the other category, like, on just, like, one day notice. I think they have to look at the average and we'll be able to give a warning. But still, what good is it to, like I said, open up if you may just have to close again? And so that's, like, people need to be really cautious. I mean, what the hell, Hawaii, not that I don't think anyone's going to Hawaii these days, but they thought they did a really good job, and now they're really having to clamp down again. And it's like, it wreaks havoc, not with just your economy, but with people's psyche. You know, we don't know from day to day. I mean, I'm walking around, I got, you know, a mask attached around my neck. I got some great ones, I guess. Like, Haleashi has these really wonderful ones you can, it's not Haleashi, Tokopawa or whatever. They have a lot of really creative things. We have masks on us all the time. You know, who knows? Who knows when that's ever
going to
go away?
Well, the reaction in response, I was talking with a fella who's broadcasting in Wyoming, and they're doing football games, and this is the second week coming up. They're traveling, and the high school had one positive test, and they shut down the school. And it's like, you know, the normalcy of this thing, I think, is being forgotten and is spinning out of control. Is there any appeal process that the county can do to the governor, or is it just it just is straight up risking the economic whatever support that he might have influence on or over if you just don't play by his rules?
You know, in the beginning, they had it where we could get these county variances. That's when we were first starting to reopen in some stages, and it allowed a little more flexibility. Right now, after, obviously this is the new system that's been put in place. I think the state is still probably trying to figure out exactly, you know, what they think and what they came up with in practice. It may not work like they are planning. You know, I think they're going to be, maybe the next week we're going to be seeing, I would expect, some kind of adjustment. What they allow for, individual counties, like I said, I think being in the list, like, sounds funny, in Orange County, we're pretty lucky compared to the ones that are red and purple. You know, I know people don't want to hear that, but, you know, a very small bit of the population of the state actually does have some latitude to actually start moving towards recovery, you know, economic recovery. It's not as fast as anyone wants, but it's faster than if you're, you know, had worse numbers and you were in a higher level. But I guess I'm trying to look at, how do you look at it positively, even though it's not nearly enough. But if we ended up in the other categories, we'd be looking at, you know, continued massive restrictions.
Would we have a reduced compliance from the businesses? And, you know, I mean, you know, if I'm a retailer, is the county going to come in and shut me down? Are you going to hit me with a fine? I mean, what are you going to do if I'm out of business? There's nothing you can do. If I don't have the revenues coming in, there's nothing you can do. So what options are there?
It's not, you know, I think the enforcement is just more helping people kind of enforce for themselves. I mean, this week, drove by somewhere and they had, you know, 40 people in the front yard sitting next to each other at a wedding reception. And they're kind of going, okay, that's probably not within the guidelines. So I'm not, you know, no one's going to say, hey, send a team down there and break it up now, right?
Right.
And when it comes to businesses, I mean, retail, you know, if someone is really somehow blowing things completely sideways in a fashion that thumbs their nose at the entire system, you know, I mean, they're not going to be arrested. But, you know, I think the bigger concern is people who actually hold licenses that are state issued. That's more where I think I would be afraid. Like, I mean, obviously in the days of with the restaurant, having a liquor license, having a cosmetology license, you know.
Well, don't forget the barber shops.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, I know. But it's like, but do I really think California is going to spend a lot of their resources sending regulators, you know, of licenses to individual communities to stamp down on that? I don't know for sure, but I would say that's not likely. I mean, people that are
rationally, it makes no sense rationally, but you know, yeah. Neither do a lot of things that the state does. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Virginia, I have had a couple of people talk to me about the construction that's going on between Eureka and Arcata out on the highway. Yeah, you've seen it. You know some of the.
I question. There's a few things I'm really trying to figure out myself.
Yeah. Well, one thing that, and I don't know if it's because they're a lot more sensitive to driving on the shoulders than I am, or if I just wasn't thinking about it, or I just take the Samoa Bridge too often. The little slant in towards the median. The comment was made. You know, if you're out of control, or if you've gone over a little too far, now all of a sudden that thing's going to be compounded, and you might be going through those railings where if it was flat, you're back in the lane and you carry on. Does the county get any discussion or any contact from Caltrans when they're doing a project like that, or well, like Harrison? I mean, that's a little closer to home, tearing up Harrison with the undergrounding and stuff. At the supervisor level, do you guys get any kind of notification? Is that all public works? How do you get to know what's going on in major projects like that?
Well, you know, as a whole for the board, you know, we don't get like a lot of information. You know, I figure public works with them the most, but the thing that starts happening is because we are not necessarily, at least the board members in the loop, you know, we start hearing the concerns. I mean, I drive that back and forth quite a bit. I also go across 255 and Samoa. That's like the best drive to Arcata, quite frankly. It's beautiful. But there's been a flurry of letters from bicyclists. And today I was paying special attention when I was driving from Arcata area to Eureka. And you know, there's this area where they have a shoulder that seems, or an area to ride in, the lane. And then all of a sudden, by the eucalyptus trees, it goes down to, I don't know if you've noticed, a really tiny area.
So right.
Like, if I ride a bike, you know, I mean, I'm afraid to be on the highway on a bike. I didn't even ride a bike. I haven't been on mine for years. I don't know why. I look at it. I don't get on it. But, but you know, people who do travel through there, and today I was noticing, it is exceptionally thin. And if you have, you know, a couple big trucks there, or you have any kind of little traffic clump there, it seems pretty dangerous. And then that does a funky little swoop back. I still have no idea what the purpose is. I'm sure they had a purpose. And I know Caltrans has been sending some emails trying to explain, and I think they'll be looking at it. But you kind of go, where did that make sense in the first place? You know, so no, we don't get a lot of heads up. I mean, public work probably gets some supervisors who know a lot of the contractors, or a supervisor. Somehow I think Rex probably has more of the inside scoop on it, just because.
Right.
Well,
he hangs out with those people a little bit more. Yeah. I was kind of curious because it does impact, obviously, the county, but it also impacts certain districts also. And I just didn't know if there was a courtesy call that you would get included if it was impacting something in your district versus another district. I mean, you may be concerned or intrigued just as a general citizen, but if it was affecting the highway out to Ferndale, okay, fine.
Right.
You know, maybe they don't include you, but it's a big deal for the folks in Ferndale, and the supervisor for that area, you know, Rexy, should get some kind of a notice so that he doesn't get blindsided by a whole bunch of calls. I mean, it would seem to be a courtesy thing almost as much as anything else.
But, you know, I agree. I will say I kind of like the concept, though, those railings. I have seen so many people recently cross through the median in the middle of nowhere in the grass because for some reason they found out they went the wrong way. And it's like, I don't think you're supposed to do that. And then now these pop-ups, like, gosh, I guess a lot of people were doing that. So,
well, my fear is with some of those little blowover cars. Okay, put one of those things coming through, hitting that at 45 or 50 miles an hour. Does it explode? Does it get cut in half or thirds? You know, I mean, they're rather than the K rail, at least you can bounce off and maybe, you know, keep it on your toboggan trail rather than getting sliced and diced. You know, I don't know. You know, I probably won't have that concern because I'll probably end up going over it, you know, in the truck rather than going through it. But it's just.
So why don't you have the guys in Caltrans come in? That'd be an interesting call.
No, we've tried a couple of times, but conflicts of schedule. Okay.
You know what?
Next month.
You should try that.
Next month, why don't you grab somebody and bring them along with you, and we'll see you inside the studio. How's that?
I'll see if I can grab someone. I may not be the one who gets one, but I can certainly. I have a lot of people I'm related to that work for Caltrans now. Maybe I will be able to find somebody.
Pull the strings, baby. Pull the strings. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. So, Virginia, as we're approaching Labor Day weekend, you know, in the past it's been a demarcation of summer. I think for a lot of us, we're still looking for summer just because, you know, travel and those types of activities that normally are associated with this time of the year, we've not, for various reasons, obviously. What are you looking at as things kind of start to hunker down a little bit more, and the focus is now on the fall and winter months?
A good question. You know, as far as summers go, the weather's been really nice, and I think what a lot of people are doing has been recreating. You know, there's not an RV spot you can find. I think I hear RVs are selling like crazy. So it was just a different kind of summer, and I was really excited because last Sunday, I actually found my summer clothes. It only took me all summer to find them. I was like, well, that was ironic. But, what does it look like? And I mean, it's been beautiful weather, you know, but what does it mean when we get to the fall? You know, the beginning of all this COVID, there was speculation that somehow that the warm weather would, you know, knock it down or whatever. Maybe the idea was people would be outside more. But it didn't necessarily do what they thought. So I don't know what, I don't know yet what it's going to look like. And I think, you know, there's a whole political, not necessarily the local stuff, but on the national level that is kind of, has been playing a really determining factor in what's happening, right? You know, between whether it's COVID or you've got rioting or, you know, there's a whole bunch of strange things in play when it comes to that. They have interesting political mixture. I don't even know how to say it other than I think.
Undertones.
Yeah, undertones. And that, to me, that is actually I'm more wondering about, it's like, okay, I can't really control the weather. We know that. But I would certainly hope that somehow there's a level of civility, because quite frankly, I can deal with wearing a mask. I can deal with a lot of things. I can deal with, you know, I mean, I'm not really thrilled about some of the stuff we have to do, but all this non-civil conversation that's happening, not just in the country, but even here, it almost like isn't it bad enough that we're having to go through some challenging times? And when people are starting to be so hateful from all different directions, it's like, I don't know what that really accomplishes. I'm sure it makes some people feel good, but I think it's more damaging to the psyche than if we all could figure out, yeah, this is really some fucking things that have been going on, but, you know, turning on each other just does not seem to be the way to get through the rest of the year.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's how we do this distancing thing. Hit the beach, go up to the hills, stay away from people. not because we're told to do so, but just because you're fed up with it, and fine. You don't want to talk to me, I don't want to talk to you, and just kind of maybe step back a little bit and refresh and come back at it with a clear attitude rather than one that is carrying some baggage.
Well, let's hopefully that, you know, that school starts to go well. Let's hope that, you know, I think kids are actually some of the best. I've seen little kids wearing masks like they've done it all their lives. You know, so I'm having positive thoughts about what's going to happen in the school situation, hoping that nothing goes crazy there with COVID. And maybe that's when we start actually kind of returning to some semblance of how do we manage this thing in a way that doesn't make it completely manage us.
You mean semi-normal?
Yeah, someone said today, what's fun about being normal? It's like, well, I don't know. That's a good question. But right now it sounds like something that would be welcome.
Yeah, it would feel pretty darn good, I think, for a lot of us. So, all right, let's go out and let's see if we can act normal, huh?
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All righty, thanks.
I'm just going to carry this with me that I knew what speakeasy meant.
There you go. Yeah. And normal sleep patterns also. Let's shoot the moon here. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thanks.
Happy Labor Day. See everybody tomorrow.